The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This episode of the Potterverse is brought to you by MinuteWithMary.com, where I can hook you up with all sorts of things, beauty, skincare, and cosmetics. This month, the month of August, we are highlighting my brand new eye cream. If you feel like your dark circles, your eye bags, and just your whole around eye look is a little more drab thanks to COVID-19 or other things that have happened in 2020.
COVID-19.
Talking about you, murder hornet. Crazy things going on. Listen, we've all lost sleep. We all look a little tired. We all look a little haggard. Hagrid. Hey. So my eye cream is a special on sale just for you, our podcast listeners. Go to minutewithmary.com/discount to grab your eye cream at a discount. Remember, I have a 14-day love it guarantee and all my products at minutewithmary.com. If you don't love it within 14 days, I give you 100% of your money back. Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to the Potterverse. It's a podcast dedicated to the book and film universe of Harry Potter. So grab your favorite wands and time turners. Let's step into the night and pursue the flighty temptress adventure. And welcome back. My name is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and I wouldn't trust Hagrid with a pair of freaking socks. Wouldn't do it.
Stop it.
Wouldn't do it.
He's the gamekeeper.
Yeah.
That's, he's in charge of literally like all the other living things except for children.
I think it's a mistake. because we have all of these instances where Hagrid just injures kids and has dragons that he shouldn't be having. He's just like, yeah, it's no big deal. Can't keep a secret for his life. Like, what are we doing here, Hagrid? But love you. Think you're amazing.
Truly.
Think you're a great guy. Probably one of the best. Wouldn't trust you with a pair of socks.
I do. I trust Hagrid. Well, that's why he's my favorite. Well, of course, we're talking about chapter 14. Norbert, the Norwegian Ridgeback. And the quote that I'm going to read is a quote that actually made me laugh out loud. This is one of my, I love this chapter. It's not necessarily covered this much in depth in the movie.
No.
So it's just, it's always fun when you get these little bits to revisit. And I love the humor between Harry and Ron. So here's a prime example. Harry suddenly turned to Ron. "Charlie," he said. "You're losing it too," said Ron. "I'm Ron, remember?" "No, Charlie, your brother Charlie in Romania studying dragons. We could send Norbert to him. Charlie can take care of him and then put him back into the wilds." "You're losing it too." Like, it's just so perfect.
Oh, hold on.
Where'd we go, Blake?
There we are. Hit the wrong button. Sorry, ladies and gents. For those of you watching the live feed, you got my screen, what that looks like.
Beautiful. Very relaxing and peaceful.
Oh, a nice big mountaintop. With cotton candy color sky.
Oh, we love cotton candy. Well, listen, friends, once again, we would love to remind you to subscribe to this podcast. It actually helps boost the Potterverse into the algorithms of your podcast feed. So hitting that subscribe button, even if you join us regularly live on social media, we would love for you to hit that subscribe button. You can also leave us a written review. 5 stars is preferable, please. And you can also find us on all sorts of social media by searching Mary and Blake, or you can head to maryandblake.com to find out all of our podcasts and blogs. And last but not least, we would love to thank from the bottom of our hearts all of those of you who have taken the time to pledge at jointhenerdclan.com. Once again, that's jointhenerdclan.com. Every single dollar you see, as little as $2 a month, you can be donating to keep these podcasts and blogs going strong. So thank you to all of our patrons at jointhenerdclan.com.
And I will say that it is growing exponentially because of Blake's Book Club, which is now featuring Midnight Sun.
Yes.
So if you are a Twilight fan, if you are watching us live, yeah, if you're a Twihard, you want to get in on Blake's
Say
Book
it.
Club. No. I have it. I have it here somewhere. Here it is.
Say it out loud.
Yes.
So I'm analyzing chapter by chapter midnight sun.
We took I may be joining soon.
Yes. I think
seeing
that
as
you
how
will.
I spoiled something for you.
Can't believe. You know what? I'm not even going to get there. I don't even want to go there.
No, we're not.
Don't even want to.
Let's just get into the show.
Let's do it.
I solemnly swear that I'm up to no good.
So for those of you who have not been reading along, Dinifash, don't fret. We've got a quick little recap. In this, exams are coming. And by exams are coming, I mean 10 weeks away. But Hermione Granger thinks that it is never too early to start studying. So she's got schedules up the wazoo. Harry, Ron, and Hermione visit Hagrid. And guess what? He's got a baby dragon egg. How exciting. And totally not, because it's illegal. So because he's illegal and Draco Malfoy finds out about said illegal pet, they have to get Charlie, Ron's brother. I'm not Ron. I'm not Charlie. I'm Ron. You know, that boy, Charlie Weasley, to take him away to Romania. And right after the dragon is rescued, Filch catches Harry and Hermione exiting the tallest tower.
And what else does he get? You're missing a major component here that he gets.
What does who get?
Filch. Well, what is he? What do they leave behind?
They leave behind his invisibility cloak.
There you go. That's a big deal.
Filch,
I don't think Filch sees it, but they leave it behind.
Yeah.
Which eventually leads them to, well, whatever. We'll get there when we get
there. Hold on tight.
Spider-Monkey. Yes. You know what? We're going all the Twilight references. One more time for the sake of posterity.
Say it out loud.
You're welcome, world. Listen, I'm kind of out on this chapter.
I knew you'd be.
Tell me why you knew that I would be out on this chapter.
Because nothing really happened.
You got it right.
It's like, here's our problem, and it gets solved within this chapter.
Oh my God, it's just such a tight little teeny tiny bow. And it's just, you know what it is?
Tell me.
What upsets me is that we are, this is the entrance to the third act. Okay, well, if we're talking about it in terms of a television or a movie, this is the beginning of the third act.
Yes.
And the problem that we have is that there is too much information.
I mean, look at where we are in the book.
Right. We only have very little left in terms of
the book.
Can you
handle
itself.
That, by the
I
way?
I think we only have three chapters left.
Can you handle it?
No, I can't believe we've gone this quick through the first book.
Listen, honey, we've been all stuck in quarantine.
That's true. Okay? We've had nothing better to do than sit here and read Harry Potter and talk Twilight. About Midnight Sun.
We need lives.
Okay. There's too much stuff to wrap up from the second act and the first act to get to the third act. We need to get that propulsion into the third act to give us something to latch onto and tie up all the loose ends to say, okay, here you go. Here's how we're going to set things up. Harry and Ron, they're going to get detention eventually. And they're going to get detention because of what happens here when they're getting rid of Norbert. And they're getting rid of Norbert because they went to see Hagrid, who just happens to give them information about the Sorcerer's Stone, who was involved. And that further confirms their suspicions about Snape, which then sets them on the path to confront. It's a whole thing. It's a whole thing. And it all happens in this chapter.
Can I tell you why it's important?
And nothing happens. Nothing.
This chapter, like the problem that is set in motion in this chapter, aka that Hagrid has a dragon, okay, gets wrapped up within this chapter, which is pretty incredible. Mm-hmm. Like he has the dragon egg. Yep. He tells them how he acquired said dragon egg. Yep. He cares for it with blood, chicken's blood and bourbon.
I know. Oh. Brandy, come on, get it right.
Okay, sorry. and it hatches. And they rescue it with Charlie, all within this one chapter. You can tell they're very bored. They're just studying all the rest of the time. There's nothing else significant necessarily going on. But what I will tell you is the reason that this chapter is important is because Harry and Hermione get in trouble because of this. And the detention that they get from being out at night in the tallest tower needs to be pretty severe. So they end up getting a pretty severe punishment from this, which leads them later on into the Forbidden Forest. Plus, the other incredibly important thing is we needed Hagrid to have had a reason to slip up about how you can get past Fluffy. We needed some incredibly crazy reason. He needed to be at the pub having a couple drinks. He needed to be showcasing that he cared for wild, huge, crazy creatures. And he needed to casually, like, let the kids know that he got this while boasting about the fact that he can care for Fluffy.
Right, right. So I do see that. And that is obviously, that is the thing I think that pushes everything forward. The fact that Hagrid trades this information.
What's tough is when you're at this chapter reading, yes, like if you
don't understand that.
Exactly. If this is your first time reading this chapter, this is how you feel. Or rereading. I mean, you haven't reread this book since what?
Ever.
Did you ever read this book?
No, that's why I said ever.
Okay. Yeah. So Blake, for those of you who don't know, like Blake watched the movies 1 and 2.
Yes.
And then you read 3. You watched 4.
Yes.
You've never read 2 or 4. 1, 2, or 4 ever of never the Harry Potter universe.
Nope.
So when you're reading it, yeah, what you don't realize is because of this, they're going to have issues where they go to the Forbidden Forest. Because of this, they know that Hagrid let it slip how to get past Fluffy.
Right.
And what's brilliant about this is to the first time reader, this is a like whatever fluff piece. This is a fluff chapter. Yes. As it kind of comes off to Harry and Hermione and Ron, they hear, oh yeah, I was in a pub and this hooded figure and I won the dragon egg. Like, let's get over this. Hagrid won an illegal dragon egg just in a pub.
Mm-hmm.
Like the guy was looking to get rid of it. But because it feels like such a fluff chapter to us, that means that it feels like a fluff piece of evidence originally to Harry and Hermione and Ron.
Yep. Yep. I don't know. I'm out on it. I'm out on it. There is some important stuff that happens in this chapter, obviously. And namely, Mary, you just talked about it with the trading of information, essentially, and how that affects the plot at the end mm-hmm. of the book.
Which is pretty much already here, as you said. Right, we're like right. So close to
the
ending.
Another problem that I have with it too is that the past couple of chapters, I'd say the past 3 chapters or so, have felt like we're just
okay
doing stuff.
I'll tell you what the past couple of chapters are.
I felt like it's Claire walking on an island.
The past couple of chapters are Ron playing chess against Hermione. Okay. So Ron knows how to play wizard's chess.
Yes.
Hermione stinks at it.
Yes.
Ron probably thinks plays out multiple plays in advance. That's what you do when you play chess. When you're really good at chess, you are playing things so that everything comes together.
Wait, what are you doing?
You're playing your pieces.
You're playing things. Sorry, go ahead.
You're playing your pieces so that everything comes together at the same exact moment. You know, you're trying to like catch somebody. You're trying to catch the king at the yes. same exact moment by moving all these little pieces. That's what this is. This is the puzzle pieces that are bringing us into the third act. Because if we were right now like, oh my gosh, Voldemort, he's here. At this point in the book, we'd have a really long time to be getting rid of this
right.
main villain, you know?
Right, right, right.
But right here, it's lulling us into a false sense of security.
How so?
It's letting us get entranced by more of the magical world of Harry Potter.
Okay.
It's helping us look at this special mirror. How cool. Look at, there's dragons. There's different types of dragons. Like, it's more just expanding of the universe. Mm-hmm. So much that, like, Diagon Alley, you know, like, he goes shopping, but does anything necessarily happen seriously for the plot? Well, just like with Gringotts, you know, like you're learning little things that end up being big things later.
Yeah.
And I think that what happens is we're just so swept up in the fun, magical, childlike innocence of seeing a dragon be born that we enjoy it. And in another chapter or two, we realize the significance.
Yeah, I think the thing that I really have against this chapter and the past couple of chapters, and Mary, you're right. I mean, it is setting things up, I think, for later on in the book. And it's also kind of closing things out from earlier in the book. In particular, Hagrid's love of dragons. You know, mm-hmm. it's one of the first things he tells Harry. He's like, he loves dragons. He always wanted a dragon. And suddenly here we are with a dragon in Hagrid's presence, and that one that he kind of owns now. So there are things like that, that Hagrid's desire, one of his deepest desires is to have a dragon. Just like
that right when he meets Harry.
Right.
How to tell when the hosts aren't listening.
Continue. I may or may not have been staring off into my Hogwarts mug. How to tell when your hosts have been married for a decade.
Oh, man.
What, honey?
Yeah, sure. You keep talking, sweetheart. Yeah. You heard it when Harry was talking, when he first met Harry, right? Yeah. Quarantine has done us so well. Anyway, so it closes some of the things out from that happened in the beginning of the book. But it's just clunky the past few chapters, which is funny because I don't remember this kind of clunkiness from the author in later books. And it could be just that she got more comfortable in the world.
Agreed.
And she got more comfortable with her storytelling ability.
Agreed.
Which is fine, in her plotting. And
she became a better writer.
Yes, absolutely.
Through and after this book. She already was an incredible writer.
Yeah, you can see, obviously, we've talked about it ad nauseum in this podcast, how talented the author is, and the fact that she could plot these things out, and her descriptions and her ability to set character without having to tell you about character is terrific. I mean, it's second to none, really. We've been talking about Midnight Sun, obviously, in jest, but we are talking about it, and I am reading it, and it's at jointhenerdclan.com. But, you know, Stephanie Meyer, who writes Midnight Sun and all the Twilight books, you know, she has a gift. Mary is famous for saying this. Stephanie Meyer has a gift for doing butterflies.
Like, the entire book is just butterflies.
Right, and what that feels like. And she has a gift for giving you an inner monologue that sets tone. She is not as adept as this author, which is fine. But you can see that this author grows into herself in later books.
Agreed. As I would hope she would.
But still not a great screenwriter. Just going to throw that out there. Not a great screenwriter, because she's the one who wrote the screenplay for the Fantastic Beasts films.
We'll talk about those at a later date.
Yes, I'm just throwing that out there. Just great, Bob.
We also get a little taste of knowing how Quirrell's doing in this chapter. Quirrell looks thinner and paler than ever.
Yes.
And Harry and the trio actually like kind of stick up for him because he's kind of stuttering more and he's looking just a little more off. This, of course, is because he's being like hosting Voldemort.
Yeah. Yes, obviously he is thin and pale and stuttering and because of Voldemort, but they're sticking up for Quirrell because of Snape. Because it looks to them that Snape is on him. He's on him constantly. Mm-hmm. And Snape is poking and prodding and trying to find out how to get to Fluffy and how to figure out Fluffy. And especially after having this information from Hagrid that, oh yeah, Snape was part of the whole thing. He helped protect.
Okay, so Hagrid then tells the kids, okay, here's who put down the spells. So we have Dumbledore and McGonagall, like all the heads of the houses, and Quirrell, and Hagrid had Fluffy. So it's just very interesting that he has all the heads of the houses, because I guess that kind of holds them all accountable to take care of certain aspects. You know, like people have different strengths. And because you have never read this book, it's going to be really interesting for you to see what those different tasks are, what those different trials are that they have to go through. And we're going to get to that, because reading it this time through, I've been thinking a bit more about how they often play to these children's strengths. And of course that's interwoven on purpose, but Anyway,
I want to talk about a child that should have a strength that you would think that would have a strength.
Yes.
Yet shows no ability in that strength whatsoever in this chapter. And it bothers me. And this is part of the clunkiness.
Ooh.
It bothers me to no end.
Land the plane.
Sorry. Okay. It bothers me, by the way.
Land the plane, Helen.
It bothers me that Draco has this information about Norbit and about the plan and the dragons and Hagrid and kids seeing Hagrid, and he doesn't say nothing to anybody for like 2 weeks or whatever it is, however long that it took, because it took a week, right? Yeah, it took a week for
the egg to hatch,
for the egg to hatch and for Charlie to show up. So it was like 2 weeks. Draco doesn't say nothing to anybody.
No.
That, to me, is a plot hole the size of our house.
Oh, okay. So I think that Draco's not yet ready to try to get a faculty member in trouble. I also think that Draco would think, well, Hagrid's the gamekeeper. Maybe he's allowed to. We have to remember, Draco is a first year. He hasn't even finished his first year. However, he will go after his peers. He will go after his equals. And when it comes down to knowing that he can catch them, he gets Ron's book. It says midnight, such and such night, tallest tower, like literally all the information is there. Then Draco knows that he can strike and get it right. Because how embarrassing would it have been for him to say, oh yeah, Hagrid has a dragon, without getting himself in trouble?
How would he have known
unless he was sneaking out and when he shouldn't have been sneaking out?
That's true, but he still has the letter. Like, it does just say, hey, I found the letter. I found it. This is what's happening.
Was the letter a little vague, or did it say bring the
dragon? No, it was the whole plan. It was the whole plan, yes, in the book.
I'd be glad to take the Norwegian Ridgeback.
Yeah, here's, yeah. Yes.
Dear Ron, how are you? Thanks for the letter. I'd be glad to take the Norwegian Ridgeback, but it won't be easy getting him there. I think the best thing will be to send him over with some friends of mine who are coming to visit me next week. Trouble is, they mustn't be seen carrying an illegal dragon. Could you get the Ridgeback up to the tallest tower at midnight on Saturday? They can meet you there and take him while it's still dark. Send me an answer as soon as possible. Love, Charlie. Yeah.
Bam! Just like that. A winner!
Like, why didn't he just go to Snape and say, yo, it says, Dear Ron, love, Charlie. So obvious, Ron Weasley. Everything's here.
Yeah. Why isn't... Dana here on Facebook is saying Draco wants to get them in as much trouble as possible. I don't think waiting gets them in more trouble than giving the information. Like, how does that get them in more trouble?
He likes to... Because they know that he has the letter. I think he likes to see them in agony. And I think also... He wanted to watch it happen. I think he wanted to watch them get red-handed caught. Draco wants to see this pain.
Yeah, but he doesn't say anything to anybody. He can't watch them get caught.
What do you mean?
Like,
if he's there telling Professor McGonagall at midnight, you know, because he was there and he wanted to see it.
But she caught him. She wasn't walking with him.
Maybe Draco wanted to see... Maybe... Oh,
there's no way. There's no way to explain this. I'm sorry.
Let's do it. Yes, there is. It's from the other perspective.
We're doing that right now?
Right friggin' now.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Holy cricket. You're Harry Potter. I'm Hermione Granger. And you are?
Draco Malfoy.
Okay, what do you got? Draco, go ahead.
Draco Malfoy has realized that his choice of friends sucks. Just plain old sucks. Why did I choose Crabbe and Goyle? They're duds. They have no interesting conversations, no adventures whatsoever. They literally just sit there and eat cupcakes all day. They don't help me with my studies. I want to do well. I'm smart. I'm capable. I'm a good student. Yet I'm stuck with these two oafs. I think I might have chose wrong. I think I kind of want to be friends with Harry, Ron, and Hermione.
Draco, okay? I think
Blake,
you took a few too many tabs of acid.
I am midnight sunning the hell out of this chapter, okay? Edward's perspective, Draco's perspective. Okay?
Say it out loud.
Draco Malfoy. Should have just named him Dragon Malfoy. You want to know what his birthday was like? His birthday party every year was probably a dragon-themed birthday.
Oh, okay? My God.
Let's be real. Draco Malfoy loves dragons. He wishes he could have a pet dragon, too. He finds out that Hagrid has a pet dragon. Ooh, man. Do I want to see that dragon and be friends with these people? But I'm a little nervous. I'm a little nervous to say something, okay? So I'm just going to show up and see them, and then they have to let me in their club. Maybe I can pet the dragon. Maybe I could just see it for a moment. I'm not going to tell on them. Because I want to see this dragon. It's my favorite pet ever. The end.
Mary, you are so... You are not a Slytherin. You are not a Slytherin. This kid is one of the most vindictive kids there is in all of Hogwarts.
He's only 11 right now.
Doesn't matter.
He might have made a poor choice. Maybe this was his moment in life where he was trying to choose the light, okay? Snape is a Slytherin too. Snape wished that he had more friends too. Maybe this is the plight of being a Slytherin.
He did everything he did for Lily. Maybe, that's what it comes down to.
No,
Draco don't got no Lily. does not have a lily.
Someone argue that it's Hermione.
Oh, get out of here. He calls her a mudblood.
Yeah.
I'm out on that.
How many people have insulted their childhood
Erroneous.
Crush?
Erroneous. Nope. Erroneous. I'm out.
Guess who else called someone a mudblood?
You lost me on this one.
Snape called Lily a mudblood.
Mm.
Happened. Suck it.
I will concede that point, Mary.
The end.
No.
Okay, so.
All right, continue.
That's really, really it.
What do
that's
you mean?
The chapter, man.
Oh, yeah, that is essentially the chapter.
How hot do you think Charlie is? Like, works with dragons.
Do you think he has like,
he has scars.
I was just going to say he has scars. That's right.
This is illegal to breed dragons. Charlie, who was a dynamite Quidditch player, went out to go like work with dragons. We're in the midst of watching Shark Week right now. And our son is so into it. He thinks it's a national holiday, by the way. Maybe that's why our garbage was postponed for a day.
What's
for
that?
Shark Week.
I doubt it, but
doubt it.
That'll be my headcanon going forward.
We are the ocean state, so it would make sense. But it made me think, I'm like, you see these guys on Shark Week and they're just so cool. And they're like, oh yeah, I can like hypnotize sharks. And I go swimming with, that's Charlie Weasley. Watch Shark Week and just picture a redhead, a little scarred up, like really strong, fast, agile. That's Charlie Weasley.
Can we also talk about one other thing too? Harry leaving the invisibility cloak. Come on, man. Got to be better than that.
Okay, first off, he's 11.
Got to be better than
mistake,
that.
And he hasn't been wearing his invisibility cloak on the regular. Okay? He hasn't pulled it out since the Mirror of Erised. So he's not like, oh yeah, I need to remember to get this.
It's his dad's cloak. It's like Jamie in his dad's coat.
How many times do you forget keys in your pocket?
It ain't my dad's keys that I never
they
met
actually...
in treasure. And it's the one thing I have from him. No. That is an invisibility cloak from his dad.
They
that he
were
treasured.
Just seeing an illegal baby dragon fly off with Charlie Weasley, fan myself. Okay. And so what? So what, man? Maybe it was flipped over and it was invisible. It's an invisibility cloak. Maybe they took it off and it became invisible. Like maybe it's two-sided. Like one side you could see a pattern on the other side. It's invisible. Maybe they're just so wrapped up in it, it off.
You know what it is? Clunky. That's what it is. Clunky, clunky, clunky.
They're 11.
I dare say, lazy writing. Dare say. Good.
Okay.
I'm not gonna, but I'm on the edge. By the way, Tracy Enos on Facebook is saying that Charlie would be somewhat akin to Jon Snow with red hair.
Yes.
You think so?
Ooh.
Charlie would be Ygritte and Jon's kid. That's what he would be.
You know nothing, Jon Snow.
You're welcome, world. You
All
are welcome.
The snaps. I really love Charlie Weasley. Can I just give him a moment? Like the other Weasley brothers, Percy, bless Percy's heart.
I'm out on Percy.
Yeah, we're supposed to be out on Percy. Okay. And Percy honestly doesn't get any better, you know?
No, he's a dink.
You need to be careful. I don't want people to think you're saying like a bad, bad word. He's saying D-I-N-K, just so you guys know. And then we've got the twins who, you know, are so fun, but they don't make Ron feel any more, I don't know, great about himself. Mm-hmm. Charlie literally does something illegal for his 11-year-old brother.
Yep.
Says,
and is like happy to do it.
And
no questions
about it. No questions. Like, I'm going to get my friends, meet me here, and then signs the letter love Charlie. How often do guys sign letters love?
Yeah, to women all the time.
No.
Guys?
Yeah.
Not so often, probably. I don't think so.
Like, Charlie, you have stolen my heart.
I'm kind of in on Bill, by the way.
He's not here yet, Blake.
No, I know he's not here yet, but I'm just saying as a character.
I think you're just trying to up me because I'm fanning myself over a fictional character who his name has only been mentioned 3 times in this book.
That's true. That is true. All right, Marvin, you got anything else about this chapter before we move ahead? Oh, you know, actually, there's one bit of... that I wanted to call out here. It's at the end of the chapter. And this is something that's fun because...
I'm glad you found something fun since you didn't like this chapter.
I didn't like this chapter at all. I hated this chapter.
Oh, we can't tell, Blake. We cannot tell.
It is fun because it gives us a good highlight into not only the trio's friendship, but the dynamic that exists now between Harry and Hermione.
Okay.
It's great. It says... the steep spiral
try
that one more time, ladies and gents. The steep spiral staircase up to the top of the second tower seemed the easiest thing in the world after that. Not until they'd stepped out into the cold night air did they throw off the cloak, glad to be able to breathe properly again. Hermione did a sort of jig. Malfoy's got detention! I could sing! Don't, Harry advised her. Oh man. Just
can you
don't.
Just stop right there?
Just
so
don't.
So where are they?
They are the steep spiral staircase up to the top of the tower seemed the easiest thing in the blah blah blah.
So they're on the tallest tower.
Yes.
The tower where our beloved headmaster dies from.
Oh, good one.
So this is the first time we're introduced to this location.
Yes.
And of course, it plays a very significant role for us. So I look at this chapter with some love. I look at this chapter as we learn more about what pets are illegal and not, about more of the intricacies of the magical world and just the little sprinklings that we get to play with from here on out. Once again, I find it quite interesting that Ron doesn't get to be there for it. Ron gets so many bad things that happen to him. I mean, he gets bits by this
constantly.
Dragon.
Yeah.
And he tries to play it off like a dog bit him. Yep. Madame Pomfrey's like, this was no dog.
No, get out of here, kid.
This was no dog.
I was going to take Madame Pomfrey's perspective on this one and be like, Ron, what are you and your stupid friends doing? I know I see all three of you walking around all the time doing things. You're getting hurt and Harry's getting hurt and everybody's getting everybody, you know, is all over the place here. And it's always you three all the time. You're going to tell me you got bit by a dog and it's green now and it clearly is dragon venom? Stop it, you and your friends. How did Madame Pomfrey not say anything?
Listen, it's HIPAA, okay?
No!
HIPAA!
You're welcome.
you know what you deserve.
Oh, thank you.
Makes me wanna shout. Awesome job, Mary. Awesome job.
You're welcome.
All right.
On that note.
Oh, wait, you want to take some email questions
here?
Yes,
we do.
All right, ladies and gents, remember, this is your time right now. Get your questions ready as we read the emails. When we're done, we will answer them on the live feed here.
Oh, Miles here.
All right, this one comes from Mo. She says, do you think Snape is making a direct reference to Quirrell's loyalty to Voldemort at this point in the previous chapter?
I think Snape's just playing, like, the double edge. I don't know. That's a good question.
I always took it like, you're going to see where your loyalties lie. Inferring that it's to Hogwarts. Like, because what is Snape trying to do here? He's trying to get the information out of Quirrell and how far he's gotten.
It just depends, like, how much of this brain is still Quirrell's? Like, does Quirrell fight his brain for moments, or is it, like, completely controlled by Voldemort? I think that Quirrell is still there, and he's trying to fight for the Quirrell part to come out.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
That's a great question, Mo. And so, what does she say? What?
Rachel says, Madame Pomfrey probably believes snitches get stitches. She also keeps it under the wraps that Hermione was messing around with Polyjuice Potion in book 2.
Telling you, it's HIPAA.
Snitches get stitches. all right,
what next, did Mo also ask?
The next question is, knowing that Voldemort is attached to the back of Quirrell's head and can hear Snape trying to foil his plans, how is Snape able to work so successfully as a double agent later in the books? Wouldn't Voldemort remember Snape's meddling betrayal in the forest?
This was addressed somewhere. I remember reading about this somewhere. I'll get back to you on that, Mo. Can we save this for next week so I can do a little delving? Because it's an excellent question, and I feel like I've read an answer before, but I need to figure out if it was fan fiction or not. Or if, like, I read it in Pottermore.
That's a good one. It also brings into question, do Voldemort's memories while he was on Quirrell last, right? Like, after he gets extricated from Quirrell's head, do those experiences fly away in the wind? Do they just go away? Does he remember? Does he have a hazy memory of it? Like, because he's not fully formed. I mean, he is Voldemort, but he's not Voldemort yet. You know what I mean?
Okay, so I'm finding it. In book six, Bellatrix and Snape are talking before the Unbreakable Vow, and Snape says that he didn't know that Quirrell was working for Voldemort. He only knew that Quirrell was trying to steal the stone. Mm-hmm. And he says to Bellatrix that if he had known Voldemort was trying to steal the stone, he would have assisted. But since he didn't know, he was trying to stop Quirrell, or else Dumbledore would get suspicious. And Voldemort didn't want to reveal himself to Snape, worrying that Snape had gone to Voldemort's, to Dumbledore's side.
Yep.
So what's happening in book one, as referenced in later books, book six, Snape doesn't know for certain Voldemort is with Quirrell.
Yes.
He just thinks Quirrell's trying to take the stone. That's how he explains it to Voldemort. Voldemort's cool with that.
Yeah.
And Voldemort doesn't want to let Snape know in case Snape switched sides as well. Got it. Which Snape did.
Which I don't think he ever switched sides. He just was on Dumbledore's side.
No, Snape was a Death Eater.
Well, no, I know, but I'm saying from a certain point in time, he was never.
But Voldemort never knew him to not be a Death Eater.
Valid point. Okay, fair enough. I'll go. And thinking about that too, like let's just pause for a second. Let's take a step back, macro, big picture here. Good sound effect.
You're welcome.
How is it that Snape was able to play that role so well, like that he could fool the darkest wizard of all time?
The darkest wizard of all time was pretty much a slug at this point, first off.
No, not now, but later on, like when Voldemort was fully formed. Starting in book four. And like, how is Snape able to fool?
He didn't fool him. So Snape was a Death Eater. Snape was like, I'm cool with the Dark Lord. And then he hears the prophecy.
Yes.
And he tells, by the way, I found some really cool, juicy news. Here's the prophecy. And Voldemort's like, great, I'm going to go kill people. And then Snape's like, oh my gosh, he could interpret the prophecy as the girl that I love. So he's like, Voldemort, can you just do me a favor and not kill the girl that I love?
Yeah. No, after all of this, after...
Voldemort died after that.
No, I know.
But you're losing me.
Voldemort comes back to life.
As a slug, pretty much.
No,
I mean,
I know,
not a real slug.
But in book four, he comes back to life and he starts running the whole gig.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
How is Snape able to fool Voldemort from that point forward?
He tells him that he's been waiting for his return and he's trying to be a spy.
But like, it's Voldemort is a lot smarter than just falling for the fact that, oh, hey, look, Snape, you're my buddy. Great. I trust everything you say. Like, He can look into people's minds and he can control things and he can what I'm getting at here is what Snape has done in service of Dumbledore after Voldemort came back to life is remarkable. It is worthy of remark.
Yes,
it is. It's excellent.
I don't think I understand if you're trying to make a statement or ask a question.
No, I wanted to say
interesting.
The fact that was able to happen
yes.
is a big deal. And it's one of those things that you don't think about all that much because you're going along with the story and it's moving so quickly that you don't have time to sit there and think, oh, wait, whoa. Not only is Snape like doing what he's got to do as a teacher, but he's also fooling the greatest, darkest wizard of all time, book four and after.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Like, yes. It's really incredible.
Because he has a power that Voldemort doesn't have.
Yeah. Love.
Love, love, love.
Okay. Let's see. Tamara says on YouTube, wonder why Norbert never came back to for the Goblet of Fire. Wonder what Hagrid would have done.
Oh my gosh. Hagrid probably would have been like, Norbert, no, you're not going to be in this.
Mummy's here, Norbert. Mummy's here.
Why would Hagrid call himself mummy and not daddy?
I have no idea.
He knows his mummy. Oh, Hagrid, you're too cute. I love it.
Okay, do you think Dumbledore, from Anna, she says, do you think Dumbledore turns a blind eye to Harry Potter and Ron sneaking around to get Norbert out of the school?
Yes.
The logic would suggest so, especially on the that we're operating on the fact in this podcast that Dumbledore knows a lot more than...
I've brought you to the dark side of Dumbledore, haven't I?
Yeah, you have.
Sorry.
You have.
Still love him, but... Melissa asks, he's the master of chess.
Melissa asks, why doesn't Snape know about Voldemort on Quirrell's head due to his legilimens? Because Voldemort is practicing oculomancy.
Yeah, like Voldemort's just like blocking himself out. We need to know that like Voldemort is not fully there.
Yeah,
he's literally like a leech of a human right now. I mean, he's so pained and non-existent that we're going to find out in the next chapter that he can barely even still survive. So I don't think his presence is strong enough yet there for Snape to truly know that it's him.
Let's see what else we got here. And that's all we got for now. Yes. So that's that. All right, ladies and gents, Marvin, you got anything else you want to say before we close this bad boy out?
So your dragon, if you had one, Blake, would be
Daenerys.
Yes. Awesome.
How about you? What's your dragon's name, Marvin?
I mean, our next pet is going to be named Nox. So I just thought I would name my dragon Nox because our cat is named Lumos. Don't judge my fictional dragon pet's name.
I'm not judging it.
Yes, you are.
It's basically the equivalent of the author making Harry leave his
invisibility cloak. Just move on.
Oh, man. All right, let's close this bad boy out, shall we?
Yes, we shall.
I like your name, by the way, in context.
Oh, except when I said we should name a dog that, you were like, that's the best.
No, I said I like your name in context. Because we have a cat that's named Lumos.
Yes, exactly. So that's what I'm saying.
If I had a second pet. You wouldn't have a cat.
Why wouldn't I still have Lumos?
Because you'd be at Hogwarts.
I would have brought Lumos as my pet. I'm allowed a cat, dog, or owl. Toad or owl.
Oh, man.
Lumos would have been the pet I brought.
Amanda says Nox would be a cool name for a black dragon.
Thank you.
That would be a cool name for a black dragon.
Thank you.
All right, let's do it.
Thank you all so incredibly much for tuning in to this episode of the Potterverse. We're, of course, hitting up next the Forbidden Forest, and we're going to be finishing up this book soon. So please make sure that you're sharing. Get on our complimentary texting service so that way you can join us live in case we do have to change dates due to our children, such as life right now. And don't forget to leave us a rating and review in your podcast app. The written reviews make our hearts sing.
Yeah, we've been getting some good ones as of late, so thank you everybody for doing that. And as well as always, if you know, you can leave us reviews if you find value in what we do here. But if you really find value in what we do at Mary and Blake Media, please go to jointhenerdclan.com, become an official member at Join the Nerd Clan, be part of the Nerd Clan. You don't want to miss out. Especially because we got some really cool stuff happening there, like the Midnight Sun Book Club. We got the Crown podcast there. We got the Rise Up podcast. We got everything going on there. So you don't want to miss out on any of that. And that is exclusively for all the members at jointhenerdclan.com.
That's right. Can I just note that Draco lost 15 points for Slytherin for being up at the tallest tower?
Yep.
Whereas Harry only gained 5 points for killing, for knocking out a troll.
More favoritism.
Truly. Actually, it's favoritism from Gryffindor. Anyway, for now, my name's Mary.
My name is Blake.
Mischief managed.